Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Back again. Bestie
Angela Bassett did the thing.
Viola Davis, you're my woman king.
That's why we had to start this episode, y'all.
Blanchett Kate is all of us. Jimmy Lee. Okay, girl, we gonna get into that.
Y'all. Woo, child, you wanna ask us this. You don't gotta rap.
Child, why does she call her Blanchett Kate?
You tried to rap.
Okay, y'all, we're going to get into what we're talking about right now in case you're like, what are we talking about? We'll get into that in our show. But how are you, bestie? How is life? How is everything going?
I am blessed and highly favored. So much TV. I love this time because it's spring. We're getting new shows. We're getting new seasons of shows. Shows are ending. They're coming on. It's also award season, which I love. So my YouTube and my cable logins are busy, busy, busy. How are you?
Yep. Same. And I enjoy when I'm able to just relax and watch a show that I like and enjoy. And it's like my favorite pastime. Clearly, that's why we have this show. But yeah, I've been doing really great. Blessed, highly favorite, same as you. I had a very chill weekend. Just watching the All-Star Weekend with the husband and my show was in between.
Shout out to Mac McClung because he won a slam dunk contest. And y'all thought a white man couldn't jump.
Yes. I told my husband, and it's so funny because like Mac McClung is really giving hope out here to these white boys. Cause my husband,
he really is.
Mark was like, Matt, me and Matt are the same height and weight. I was like, so what? That means that cause he dunk, you could dunk. He was like, I'm just saying.
Like, so cannot play any sport. Her husband is not athletic.
No, what Mark used to play basketball. He has a ton of basketball trophies. He started to get more into girls than sport. in high school, and yeah, and he didn't necessarily make the JV team at Manhattan Center. He was on the coaching staff.
He was a towel boy.
Right. So he was a towel boy, right? So he used to be at all the games, but he never was playing the games. But he is very invested. But in his early years of life, from like elementary school, he has a ton of basketball trophies and some baseball trophies. So yeah, you know, Mark actually thinks he could play. You know, you ain't telling.
Basketball is our favorite sport.
Right. Like the way the ball goes down the court. So now let's get into our weekly grab.
This week we have like most of our shows in common, so
that's good.
I think we should save the best for last, and I think we both agree on what the best weekly grab should be for last. So start with yours first.
The best for last. Who sang that song?
Vanessa Williams.
Yay! Come on, Miss Williams. So first we're gonna have to talk about Love After Lockup finale. There's so many different moving parts to this, but first, I wanted to talk about Michael's mother, Michael and Jessica.
He's alive.
Right.
Not like, okay. You carrying around DNA tests, testing all his children.
It's so inappropriate. I love seeing Michael stand up for himself. You can tell that he is getting out a lot of probably what he couldn't do while he was in jail.
Right.
And just telling his mom, like, I'm grown. I'm with someone. This is what it's going to be. And if you don't like it, oh, well, you could talk to me in front of her. That's just what it's going to be. But for him to call out his mom in his confessional and admit that she has DNA tested all of his children behind his and their mother's back is so rude. And
just
so
overstepping a boundary.
Overstepping the boundaries. Then she does that. And girl, Tanea, you know, we know it growing up in New York City where they'll speak Spanish in front of you, knowing you don't speak Spanish. And he called his mom out. He's like, no, I don't want to talk to you in private. If you want to say something, say it right here. Because he knew she was doing that to like try to just let him know, like, I want to talk to you. I don't want Justine to know.
And there are a lot of moms who think that they own their sons. They are very protective over the women in their son's life. And I just could get that energy. I feel like no one would ever be good for her son. And like, it's like Justine just is a good woman who wants the best for him. She's not even stopping him from being a rapper. So I just feel like, girl, mind your business.
Right. I'm rooting for them. But at the same time, I do, just from my own personal experiences and like childhood trauma, I do not like how fast she's moving with things and just exposing her children to all this. I don't even like that phone conversation was taken in front of the kids. It's just, you're overexposing your children. Now you just move this man in straight from prison. You're pregnant by him ASAP because it was your plan. And it's just a lot. And I think oftentimes for mothers that, you know, you have children from previous relationships, their focus is like, I still should have happiness. You know, it's my life and I get it, but you are not taking into account the trauma this causes your child, because it does cause trauma. You know what I'm saying? You can, but it's just not healthy to move a stranger into your kid's life so soon.
And I agree. And I don't think kids need to know everything. I just felt for that older daughter. She looked so emotional.
Yes.
Like just hearing her, thinking that she's going to be replaced because she's older and it's like might be a little girl. So I think that parents need to be able to like have certain conversations in front of their kids and without their kids. So I felt for her too.
I just feel for those children. Like, this is all just too fast. It's just too fast. And I hate when I see parents do that. I had to go through that. Mm-hmm. And it can just really have an impact on, even if things work out with her, Justine and Michael, which of course we're all rooting for them, it's still going to be a journey for him to have a genuine relationship with those kids because of how he was forced into their life.
Right. Right. It has to be natural. It has to like be a comfort thing. It can't just be that, because you're not going to make me like this person because you're with them.
Yes, exactly. And then even having the child, granted, yes, that's going to be their sibling, but it's like, it's too fast. And then when Justine's mom got so annoyed and called her out for having three kids with three baby daddies, and now you're having your fourth with this man that just got out of prison that you done moved up into the house.
Mm.
The mother is just like, girl, so
get it together.
Yeah, Justine, at the end of the day, I like her. She's cool. But yeah, girl, like, get it together. Like, don't be so digmatized.
Yeah, I hope they on season two. But can we also talk about how I am not surprised Ashley and Travis didn't work out?
Right.
I'm not surprised.
Let's get into that. Like, honestly, and I don't even think it's at the fault of Travis.
No, I think it's her.
Yes, it seemed like he was trying. But who, like, we all saw she was like a train wreck from the start with all the crying. But you got to see it more towards the end when she lost her money and got evicted from an apartment. It's like she turned into a psychopath, and it seemed like he was still trying to work things out with her. And I already was saying, like, boy, get hit for the heels. Move back in with your mother.
She seems like an alcoholic. She seems like she has a problem.
Something, and even a little bit more than alcohol. I'm thinking she's mixing pills with alcohol, and that's why she's even able to cry so easily on demand. Like, it's just... It's just a lot. So yeah, I'm not surprised that they broke up, and I'm rooting for Travis to find happiness, because he actually seems like he has, you know, his head on straight after, you know, getting out of prison, and he's an attractive man, and I hope he finds a good woman to be by side, which I'm sure he will. I'm sure. Yeah. He will. Now let's get into Aris and Cameron. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh Lord, baby Jesus.
The fact that he threw the wedding ring, then just didn't care that she's leaving to go back to Florida. I'm just like, okay, I don't really know how this is going to work. I can't believe she's really waiting for him to come join her and her daughter in Florida. I just can't believe all that I'm seeing. And she's not ugly. I'm like,
she's beautiful, pretty,
beautiful, beautiful woman, great personality. And I'm like, I just don't see how you're doing all this for Cameron. He's crusty. He's rude. He's short and tiny. He puts his feet on tables.
Ugh, he needs some Vaseline on them lips, girl.
And the forehead, because I saw a little crust in between his eyes. But I really, really like his family.
Yeah. They got his back regardless. And it's hard, especially with somebody with a past, to have like a really good supportive family. So, I mean, I wish them the best.
Yeah, I hope to see them on Life After Lockup.
Yes, me too. Them and Justine and Michael, because I'd be interested to see what happens with them.
So now Skylar and Nathan, what I did notice in this last episode is they actually... We got to see the good side of Nathan, because the whole time I've been thinking, like, Skylar, head for the hills, leave him. He's crazy. Red flag across the board. But we actually saw them end on a really good note and saw the goodness of their relationship. So I'm hoping it works out.
I am so happy that he did not decide to propose at a haunted house, because the way I would be mad at my motherfucking partner, if you choose during somebody screaming at me in a cemetery to ask me to spend the rest of your life with you.
Yes.
I like would say, really? Because.
Boy. But oh, I'm so happy. I hope by the time we see them on Life After Lockup, he figured out how to ask the question. So now we saved the best for last, of course. Monique and Derek, they end the season broke. Why are you
best
laughing?
Friend, I want to FaceTime you and Mark one day and be like, show me a plate. Who's next?
And I'm only going
to
show half of the room. Only half.
And then when I say turn it around, just hang up for me.
Just hang up. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I got a phone call. Hilarious. Okay. So we all know that Monique and Derek are still together. They will be back for Life After Lockup.
They announced it?
No. I'm just assuming that they'll be back for Life After Lockup. They're still together. I know WeTV is not letting them go.
Yeah, they're good TV. I will say that. They're very good TV.
Yes. So what did you think of the finale? Were you surprised at all?
I was 100% not surprised. I feel like, first of all, it's long distance. Long distance is hard.
Right.
I think long distance with someone who just got out of jail and haven't had enough cookie is hard. I think long distance is hard when you got Cookie from a CEO and she's trying to frame you into being with her. I think that's even harder. Okay. I think Derek, and then I think the family and the sister, I just think there's a lot stacked up against them, because I feel like at least if they had the family support, then like maybe they could go through it. But between the CEO and the blackmail and the distance.
These sisters are so messy.
They're annoying.
I hope that they watch themselves back on this show. But no, just looking at how ratchet they are, I'm sure that they were amused by their actions. Because it's like, I can't see how you would watch it back and be proud. But if you're that ratchet, you know, you don't.
And just in case we want Monique and Zerik on the podcast, they are now taking bookings.
Oh, right. We need to reach out for that. Okay.
I just thought like it was first of all, I don't want to be with anybody who's tracking my every move. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. It's never going to work.
She's tracking his every move. Like, she's like really, really doing a lot. But at the same time, it's kind of like, can you blame her? Like, I don't know. Okay, moving on. Anyways, one of the best seasons. One of the best seasons of Love After Lockup in a very, very long time. So shout out to that, because, you know, I love Love After Lockup. So I'm so happy when more people watch it so it doesn't get canceled. Another finale I watched was The Challenge. I finally caught that this weekend with the husband. This was honestly one of the most grueling challenges finales I've ever seen.
It was 3 days.
3 days.
100
like,
hours.
Hours. It was like so many different moving parts and activities. But at the end, to see Devin and Tori win, both of them, it was their first time winning. I thought it was very much deserved. Mark, my husband, he had been rooting for Devin from the beginning. I was rooting for Jordan, but it was much deserved. They were crushing it. They were in the lead, honestly, the entire finale. Today, I know you said you didn't catch it, but Tori let out a fart, like crazy fart, back in the finale. And she's like, I got a fart. And she just farted so loud. And you just heard it on camera. And TJ gave her this look like he was so disgusted and annoyed with her. Like, really, bitch? You?
Oh, my God. I wanted Nani to win, because she just has such a hard year. She unexpectedly lost her mom. So right. I was rooting for more Nani than Bananas. I just really wanted that W for Nani. So I hope she comes back eventually. But she probably is going to take a break, especially coming back like so soon after she lost her mom. Yeah. So that's the only reason. I loved Devin and Tori, but my heart was Team Nani the whole season.
Yeah,
congratulations to Devin and Tori. We needed some new winners. I was tired of CT winning every damn season.
Yeah, exactly. CTR, if Bananas would have won, it wouldn't have been like a new thing, because he's won before. But I don't care. I'm still rooting for Jordan. Mark doesn't like Jordan because Jordan is an asshole. But I understand why Jordan is an asshole. Like, you grow up with like a physical disability, like you're gonna just already have your defenses up, and on top of just having to work hard to be the best, Jordan has to work even harder. And I'm always still just kind of rooting for him, despite him being a jerk at times, because you can still see that Jordan is a good person. Like, he's not a bad person. He just comes off very, very strong, and he expects the best out of everyone because that's what he gives. And, you know, he has one hand. So he's like, you can't tell me that you can't try harder, you know? So I get it.
Yeah, but don't be talking to my queen Anissa like that. Watch who you talking to, Jordan, because we will come through this computer and this mic and we will come fight you.
Don't but you ever at talk the to queen same Anissa time, like that's the one thing I will say about Nani, and she, Nani does it all the time. Even, you know, I know she was going through a lot this year, but she's done it before. And I think until Nani can get past her bad attitude at times when she's not doing well in challenges, she's not going to win. Like you notice the trend of people who win. It's really like being a team player, putting all pride aside, all ego aside, just focused on the challenges, even, you know, kind of working up your strength. Nani gets injured a lot. And she, when she starts doing poorly, it's like the bad attitude comes out. And we saw that all throughout the finale. And that's where Nani's kind of gotten on my nerves in past seasons. Like, so I'm rooting for her in her growth, because we saw the growth in Tori, even though she was getting on my nerves this season with Jordan.
Yeah, she was just too emotional. It's just like, all right, girl.
They were engaged, you know, like yeah. That, you know, so that's different. But yeah, so shout out to Devin and Tori. They won, and that was a good season. I'm ready for the next season because I never get tired of the challenge.
They're doing like some global championship thing. I saw this on like YouTube. I'll send you like a link to see if I can find it. But they're doing like a, like all the challengers versus like all the survivor people. They're doing like a big like global thing. So
but is that on MTV or Paramount? The CBS? That
I don't know. I will find out. But I know they're doing like a global challenge where they're going to have Wes and Bananas and Tori. Oh. And I think Jordan's coming back.
Yeah.
And they're going to go against challengers. Oh, yeah. They're going to go against challengers in a different country. So it's going to be like,
oh, I love
US versus, oh yeah, it's the Challenge World Championship. So I think they're going to go, oh, it's going to be on Paramount Plus, that's for.
Okay, I guess I'll have to sign back up.
Yeah, it's going to be winners and top competitors from the Challenge USA, the Challenge Australia, the Challenge Argentina, and the Challenge UK. And then two people will win $500,000. And then it'll have some people from Survivor, Love Island, and Bachelor Nation.
Okay, I'm definitely watching that. I'm here for it. Yeah. I'll have to get my Paramount Plus back and popping.
Listen, it's about that time.
Wait, is there a show that I've mentioned for my weekly grab that you didn't watch? Or that wasn't on your weekly grab?
No, because I think the last two we both watched.
Okay, so now let's go into The Last of Us. I had started it. Me and Marcus started it. We took a big gap between episode 1 and 2. So I'm only up. I only finished episode 2. But by the end, first of all, episode 1, we were like, okay, this is good.
Right?
Episode 2 was one of those kind of slow buildups. It's still super creepy, but I'm telling you, the end of episode 2 is just like, this show is just good. I'm just here for
girl,
it.
Girl, as soon as we press stop on this recording.
Yeah, okay,
it was getting so good, but I was so sleepy. I stopped like right in the middle. Like 30 minutes in episode 2. So I cannot wait. It's such a good show. And I don't really like shows like this, but it's such a good show.
Yeah, because you're not like, do you watch Stranger Things?
Hell no.
Right. You don't watch Stranger Things. No. You didn't watch Walking Dead. I didn't watch Walking Dead either, but you didn't watch Walking Dead. So for you to be watching this, Tanea.
I love this show. I love the premise. First of all, can we talk? Are they? I hope they show us this, his daughter's mama, because I don't believe that this little mixed girl came out of his behind.
Oh, the
daughter.
Daughter that died.
Sorry, spoilers. But the daughter, Sarah, she's beautiful.
I mean, well, okay. So for those who don't know, this is a video game that came out like 20 something years ago. That's why I already had a very large fan base. Yes, it's a video game that is turned to a show. So me and Mark like to go on YouTube after each episode to watch Easter eggs. And so they'll give you the whole breakdown of it coming from the video game. So it's not so much of a spoiler, only a spoiler if you didn't play the video game. But yeah, they changed the fact because the daughter is white. The show is being made in 2023 and, you know, diversity.
They needed that diversity check. Right. So
they added a biracial daughter, that one chick who was the leader of the revolt group. They made her black. But in the video game, of course, everybody was white. But here for that show, here for that show. So now we'll get into Drag Race. Drag Race has moved up to our weekly grab because our deep dive is now on The Real Housewives of Potomac. It will probably be that way for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do we think about Drag Race Lollapalooza?
I love these episodes. They're my favorite. You get to see everybody shine. Sasha Colby is now my favorite person in the world, like Mistress is to you. Right. I am rooting for Sasha to win. Yeah. I'm so happy that Jax went home. I was just over her and her bad outfits and her bad wigs. I love that Anitra was like, it was not going to be fair if I lip sunk against Spice. Because you right. know that would not be fair.
It wasn't right. She was the MVP for just that comment alone and for not picking
Spice. And that face. She was like, yeah, I thought that was fair.
It happens every year where someone where they just keep slipping by because granted, okay, personally, I do think that Jax went home solely because of her outfits. Solely.
Yes, yes.
Because it's not like she can't lip sync and she's not delivering. She's delivering. But it's just like, first of all, what was that? It looked like a clown outfit.
I was just about to say that, best friend.
I couldn't like believe it. Like, Jax, what is this? And then you wore this to the Lollapalooza. It's just like, girl, like, it's just no on every... across the board, but at the same time to just see Spice continuing to skate by, it is a little annoying because technically based off of like talent wise and even lip syncing wise, Spice should have went home and Jax should have had one more week before being sent home just because you can't dress at all.
And then next week is a ball. So, you know, Jax would have probably went home because
you're waiting for exactly
dress.
So the way that Spice, but at the same time, because of the makeup of the lip sync, it was funny to see Spice make it in the end because, you know, everyone was counting her out. And those that got called out for people assuming that they were weak lip syncers and then they won, like
Selena. Mistress did her thing. I loved Mistress lip sync. I don't know why the girls were so surprised that Mistress won. I thought she killed it.
Well, I didn't think she killed it, but honestly, I know that RuPaul likes to throw, you know, little curveballs at times, and I thought that was a curveball because no, like it was Mistress against who was it again? Jax? Who'd she go against?
No, Mistress went against, no, it wasn't Lux. Ooh, Mistress went against, damn, I do not know.
Yeah, we have to remember that only just because, like, no, it wasn't Lucy. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
It wasn't.
Oh, it was Jax. It was Mistress and Jax. Oh. Tell it to my heart.
Yeah, so technically Jax gave more. It's just that Jax has an ugly outfit. And I think
no, but she also does the same thing. I feel like she needed to give us like she does the same thing. She's going to twerk. She doesn't that outfit but is Mistress so ugly.
Mistress did that little titty twerk like three times throughout the performance. It's like, okay, that's all you're giving us is that little titty twerk. So for Rue to pick her, I felt like it was Rue just being like, you know what? I'm rooting for Mistress. She's a big girl. She still looks good. Her fashion is way better than Jax. So Jax, you lost.
And I think also because we've seen Jax lip sync so much in the past 2 weeks. And that's why I think maybe I like Mistress better because my eyes were on her because Jax wasn't doing anything different.
Right.
Like she wasn't doing anything I haven't seen her do last week or the week before.
Right.
So for me, Mistress was like just giving me a little bit more theatrics, which is why I liked it.
Right. Then seeing Lux, Anitra, and Jax all battle it out. Let me just say, Lux and Sasha, like, it's just like they are the moment. Right. They are the moment. Like, Lux Noir London is the moment. And she's so confident. But at the same time, it's like, it just makes sense because it's like, how are you going to tell her she's not the shit? She is. I love it. And I love that she is dark skin, black fashion goddess. Mm-hmm. Just, yes, Naomi Campbell across the board, tens across the board. Sasha, oh my God, like she is everything.
I want to change my name to Tanea Colby.
Okay. But yes, here for it. I'm here for next week's episode. So now let's get into our hot topics.
Because it's hot.
Well, of course, we are going to talk about the Rope reunion and our deep dive that is coming up. So stay tuned. But literally the only hot topic I saw this week, which was trending today, was Ariana DeBose, who I did not know who she was until this morning, and her performance at the BAFTAs, where she said, Angela Bassett did the thing. Viola Davis, you're the woman king.
So she basically
Blanchett Kate
The BAFTAs are the UK version of the Oscars. So they're really big. They were over the weekend. She was one of the hosts, and she, you know, she's a singer. She won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress and the newer version of West Side Story this past year. But we forgot because that's also when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, so nobody remembers. So she hosted it. She's a singer. She was singing like Sisters Doing It for Themselves and like all this girl. And then she just busted out in this rap that nobody asked for.
No one. No one.
Angela Bassett. No, and everyone in that clip, they're like waiting. They're like, Angela Bassett has to win an Oscar so we can resurface this clip. Angela did the thing.
But I don't know if you saw the meme of they were talking about how she looked like she was getting electrocuted when she did that. Like, she was just shaking uncontrollably. And it was like, girl, you could have just introduced it. We didn't need that rap. Like, I understand it. She, but I just don't want people to bully her. Like, it was funny, but please don't bully her. But also, we didn't need it, sis.
Not at all. I mean, I don't have a piss poor performance this week, but I'll give
it. What you do is her.
Just the rap. Because honestly, I saw clips of her singing. The whole performance was good. It was that rap. It was so bad that she got dragged for it and ultimately deactivated her Twitter. Poor thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, we didn't need it. And then it was just, and then the beat was kind of off. I don't know if you noticed that, but like, she wasn't really on beat, really? I don't know if you noticed, but she wasn't like on beat at all. She wasn't. She was not on beat.
Yeah, poor child.
It was cringy. You know,
she still got that Oscar though. She still got that Oscar. So now, piss poor performance. I don't have one this week. So who you got a piss poor performance for, Bessie?
Giselle. Giselle, girl, Bryant. I mean, we'll go into you know, we've been into it. We're gonna go deeper into it, but I just want you to get it together. Like I said, I really think she missed the ball as a girl who's had fibroids, who's had surgery. I just was disappointed in her, just overall how she's like sticking by. Like, I understand sticking by your best friend, because I'm gonna stick by you no matter what. But if you want me to lie on somebody's good marriage because your man is cheating, I'm gonna just have to be quiet, you know, because I don't think you should tear people down. So I'm just sick of her, quite frankly, quite honestly. I had to unfollow her. That's how you know I'm sick of her.
I can't even believe you was following her.
I was, because I used to be a fan, but then her and Robin, like, they just really just disappointed me. But Giselle, I was disappointed. Just the reunion, how she's acting. Like, and I don't even know what Andy's going to show when how he goes to everybody and shows a clip. Mm-hmm. What is he going to say about Giselle? Oh, you got a hysterectomy. Like, right. Because she doesn't show her life.
That's why it's time for her to get demoted. Demotion.
Demotion in ocean.
There's no reason for her to be full-time. She shouldn't have been full-time for like the past couple of seasons. Let's be real. But all right, rightfully so. Giselle always on our piss poor performance. This is like her third. We're up to episode 7, and she's been on our piss poor performance like 3 times already.
At least 45-50% of the time, because she's always piss poor in her performance.
Always, always. Now let's get into our yes segment.
Yes, honey.
Who are we rooting for?
Who are you rooting for?
Okay, well, I am rooting for. His name is Eric Kofi Abrefa. He is an actor who plays the villain Lamar on BMF. This man, Bessie, I have to say, there has been no better villain than this man on scripted television. Like, he plays this role. He is a demon. He is a menace. And he can't be stopped. You thought he got killed in season 1. He survived some kind of way. He's back in season 2, even worse than before. The way he murders people is just crazy. The way you can tell that he just fuels off of violence. This character is insane. Now, you know, BMF is based on a true story, but I do think that this character, Lamar, is just dramatized for the show. I don't think that this was a real person that was tormenting Big Meech and what's his name? Terry Flannery, the other one. I think that they just added this character in for dramatization for the storyline. He plays this role really well. Remember, they're all from Detroit, but Eric Kofi Abrefa is another one of these amazingly talented Black British actors. killing the game in an American role. We have him. We have Damson Idris. Of course, we have Idris Elba. And we have the one who plays an All-American.
Don't remember his name. We have John Boyega. I love him too.
John Boyega is also British. These guys, I was just watching him in The Woman King. Just watched that movie over the weekend. It's such a good movie. I can't believe it's not nominated for any Oscars. That is just a smack in the face. But we know why.
Mm-hmm. Y'all can be his own episode.
Because 12 Years a Slave can get nominated. And Moonlight.
Django was.
Django. But y'all don't want to see, but we ain't going to get too much into that. It is Black History Month. Y'all already know what it is. But yes, just shout out to him. He's such an amazing actor, classically trained actor. And I want to see him in more roles because he's really, 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 really good. Yes. So that's who my yes is. And my other one is for, because last week, Tanae gave it to the Kelce brothers after the Super Bowl. And I'm giving it to the Antetokounmpo brothers, the Greek
Nigerian. Well, you said that real good, sis, because I was...
Antetokounmpo, yes. Giannis, Giannis, Akalan, it's all of them. They all got Greek names. They are Nigerian. They're Greek Nigerian. Mind you, it's five of them. The oldest brother is a professional soccer player, and the four younger ones are all in the NBA, and three of them have won NBA championships. That is amazing. Two of them are on the same team. Two of them are both on the Bucks, so they won together. And then the other, I believe, was on the Lakers. And yes. So shout out to the Antetokounmpo brothers because they out here doing it.
Shout out to their mama.
They have a biopic on Disney Plus that I'm going to watch because I'm actually now very invested in them. And I want
to know. Me too, low key. Now that I know all this stuff, like shout out to their mom and their dad or their parents, their family, because that's a lot of success.
Yes, yes. They are killing the game. All right.
So my yes, you know what? I'm going to change it because I just want to get a little bit off of Wendy since we were talking about Housewives so much and we're going to keep it in the basketball lane. Okay. I want to give my yes to Mr. Jason Tatum, Mr. MVP of the All-Star game. I want to give it also to his cute son, Ducey, who makes my life when I watch a little NFL clips back and forth. Jason Tatum is just all about his team. He's all about winning. He's a really good player. He's young. He's positive. I think he might still be with Ella Mae. They were dating. I don't know if they're still together. Yeah, they were connected like a couple months ago, but he just gives me good energy, good vibes. He was the MVP and Jaylen Brown is out right now. So he's literally carrying Boston like on his feet. But I also am not rooting for Boston because of what their coach did to my auntie Nia Long. So.
Right. Well, I just don't root for Boston because Boston doesn't like New York. So I don't like.
True. True. I'm rooting for Jason Tatum and Jason Tatum. Only not the team or the city.
Okay. All right. So now we will go into our deep dive.
Today we have our very special first guest outside of me and best friend. This is one of my good Judies, one of my good sisters, my Cali born and raised friend who also watches too much TV and particular Housewives. So we want to welcome Danielle to the table. Round of applause, hi. Danielle.
Hi, guys.
Applause, applause, applause.
This is my very first official podcast ever joining.
Oh, well, thank you. You're our first official guest.
Look at these first, y'all. Look at these first. So right now, what the three of us are going to do is go into the first episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac. Season 7 reunion, because we have a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts. Man. So go ahead, best friend, to kick it off with those questions of yours.
Right. So ladies, let's first just find out, what are your thoughts on the first part of the reunion? What do you think?
Danielle, you take the floor and go first. You're our guest, so we're going to always perfect. Go to you first.
Thank you. The reunion gave a lot just for the first part of it. I felt like I actually thought this was probably like the best episode out of the season so far. It gave a lot. And I felt like Candace, she did like a great job just attacking every little thing that had to do with her. And this is just the first part of it.
Mm-hmm. So I agree.
I'm excited to see the rest.
Yeah. Me too. I'm so excited. I feel like this was the better than like the whole season. A lot of people have been saying this has been better than the whole season. So I love
it. No, seriously.
You know, Potomac is known for their reunions. I think they always deliver every reunion. And season 7, make no mistake, is carrying the torch. Just from episode 1, I was so invested. you know, I don't have like cable. So I watch it through streaming apps, and the streaming apps, typically they'll add new episodes the next morning. Mm-hmm. But I was on my little bootleg website last night. Like, no, I need now. So I was watching it from my cell phone. I had it in my little arm, and I was like, I'm watching this before I go to bed. And I just couldn't even turn it off. I was so invested. So here for it, here for part one. What do we think about their outfits? The fashion, best dress, worst dress, go. Danielle, you go.
I think who looked the best actually is Wendy. I liked how she looked the best. She was giving me like mermaid vibes.
Yes.
So I love that. Giselle did better. She's always the worst dressed to me.
Right, right.
For the entire cast. I think she did better this episode. I mean, this reunion. I would have to say the worst. I don't know. I didn't really like Ashley's bob.
I was going to say yes. The worst outfit was Ashley's hair. That was the worst outfit.
Yes. Something about that wig was making me mad.
Yes.
That dress needed either an updo like Giselle or some long wave. That bob did not elongate. This is the fashion POV. The dress cut and that short bob did not complement each other. She needed something long or up.
She didn't have like no baby hairs. Like, I don't know.
Right. It was just straight wig. Just
yes. Straight forehead.
Box the bead onto her forehead.
Yes.
Straight.
There wasn't really a worst dress to me. I don't know. Maybe Karen, I don't think she did her best. I actually like how she dresses throughout the season. But worst, I don't know. I don't really have a worst. I just hated Ashley's hair.
Right.
She is like, worst dress was Ashley's wig.
Ashley's wig got worst dress. Tanea, who do you think had the best dress?
Same. I loved Wendy. I also love Candace. I don't know why Andy assumed people were going to compare her to Cookie Monster, because I didn't get that at all. I got like fabulous. I got feathers. Kinda,
that
was him being shady. Out there.
Yeah. And he's always I think a little bit more shady to Candace than anyone else.
Really?
Because she can handle it and she gives it right back, I think. I agree. I think best dress was Wendy. Worst dress was Ashley's wig.
Well, for me, yes, I agree. Ashley's wig literally was the worst dress. Mia's hair was also a little getting on my nerves, because I could just tell that she had like her real hair in the front and the track, like literally you could see the bump. It's like, oh, here goes the track. It could have been a half wig. I don't know. I just could clearly see that divide. And then when it came to like Mia's dress, Robin's dress, Karen, pretty basic. Robin was definitely given prom class of 2004. That dress that was like at prom. But for me, best dress is definitely Wendy. Second best dress is Candace. Those two, 8, 8, 8. Okay. Yeah.
And Mia, she got on my nerves when she kept fixing her dress. It's like, let's get it together.
Oh, Mia, right?
She kept pulling her boobs up.
Like, I felt like she was fixing it more when she got put on the spot.
Yes, yes. I noticed that. I felt like,
okay, but we're gonna get into that. Who do we think is the MVP? I think we all gonna say the same person.
MVP of Candace. What specifically?
Like of just the first
episode.
First part of the reunion. Who was the MVP?
Yeah, definitely Candace. I think we're all agreeing. Right. And I think her and Wendy did good at just kind of like making a point together, which they do all throughout the season, really.
Right. Right. People were saying it was very reminiscent of season 5 reunion when Monique and Karen did that to Giselle. Giselle is always on the receiving end. The team up reads, because she's just a lot. So now let's get into Candace versus Ashley. You know, Candace, I mean, the discussion was about Ashley, her divorce, what she got out of the divorce, which is nothing.
And
$0.00.
I'm like, is she at least getting child support?
She's getting child support, and she could possibly get spousal support is what we determined. But do we all remember that episode from like 2 seasons back where Ashley said that she was going to get they signed an agreement where after being married for 7 years, she has the rights to a certain amount of money. And she said it with like a little boastful tone. And I just vividly remember that. And so to now speed up 2 years, they're getting divorced, and to find out that she's getting nothing, it's just like, girl, the gag
is crazy.
The gag is you didn't read your prenup, and you thought you read your prenup, and you probably agreed to something with Michael, but Michael went and did what he needed to do to protect his money.
Exactly.
And you didn't even know, because you were busy getting up at everybody's business on the show, TikTok dancing away, Not even like, you know, so now Candace interjects to just mention the fact that she's kind of always been made to be, you know, less than for having generational wealth that helped her get her first home. And that's where we see what, you know, so what do we think of that back and forth, what Candace said to Ashley? And
I personally loved how Candace, like, she stood on every 10 toe that she has. Like, she has so many, like, just great points in comparison. And it's just like all that karma just kind of like came back full throttle for Ashley, in my opinion. I just feel like, and I do remember that episode, to kind of go back to what you were saying. I do remember the episode where her and Michael were kind of like debating about their prenup. Mm-hmm. And to me, in this new day and age, especially if you're dating an older man with money, why don't you have a lawyer to go over those things with you before signing your life away? Like, you don't know what you're signing. Mm. That I don't understand.
Right. Right.
And then, like, she bragged. I remember she bragged about, oh, after 8 years and the kids, I'm going to be good. And you know, one thing about these shows is they forget that everything is recorded. So right. The fact that you were going about bragging like, oh, I'm going to be good, and now you look stupid and you don't have anything. And also, look at what Candace has been able to do in 4 seasons. She has a record label. She has a record deal. She's acted. I seen my girl on BET Plus. She has her own, like, brand line. I'm buying a shirt. She's made her, like, name, and she's come up with that. Her husband has been able to get jobs off of it. Mm-hmm. Ashley, you've literally done nothing but get divorced and have babies. Like, you're not even, like, just the Green Eye Bandits are milking it with the podcast. Like, this platform, you should have something to show for it. Ashley has nothing at
nothing.
All.
Nothing. They had that struggling restaurant in the beginning of her first couple of
closed.
That's right.
Like, yeah, like, and it's just like, and then on top of that, Candace is educated. Like, did she just finish? She just graduated. That showed that on this past season, right? She had just graduated.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, Ashley, it's nothing. None of that panned out very well for her at all. It did not pan out. And I just couldn't believe, like, my mouth dropped when she was saying, like, I'm not going to get this and all. And I'm like, I don't know Maryland's, like, rules when it comes to divorce. I know in Cali it's a little different, of course. So I know more about that than, I'm like, maybe they have different laws because it's just the stuff that he invested in while they were, I guess he invested in those things before marriage. And then, so it just sounded crazy. I couldn't believe that she was getting anything.
Anything that literally, it just showed, because based on her prior bragging, you really thought you signed something that you didn't. So, like, Michael had you fooled the whole entire time. And you saw when they were, like, asking, she was like, I know, y'all. Like, girl, no. Because you would be so all open ears if this was someone else. You would be ready to even throw it in their face. So that's what we gonna do.
Exactly.
But now let's move on into Mia Chow, because we was already getting into her. Mia versus Winky.
Lord Jesus.
Right. So Mia gets called out about everything she said when it came to her health scare. And Wendy then gets called out for, you know, kind of lying, saying that she never said Mia was a liar, but you got caught saying it on camera. And then Mia just calls her a snake. So what do we think about that dynamic between Mia and Wendy at the reunion?
I loved how Wendy did own up to it. She was like, I owned up to it in real time. And she posted her GIF, like, right. I got caught or whatever. She was like, well, I really did believe she was lying. Like, so it's just like, what are we going back and forth about?
I still don't like that. It's like, oh, Wendy contradicted herself. What Wendy was saying in that episode during that, you know, little thing, the first start of her and Robin having the difference, Robin and Giselle brought their skepticism to Mia, straight to Mia in the first episode. No one else did that. So what I felt like what Wendy was saying at that time is like, I didn't say that to you. Like, I didn't call you a liar. If she told a producer in confidence, that still counts to me. Like, I didn't call you a liar to your face the way Giselle and Robin did. But
yeah, like, I didn't approach it like how they did it.
And that's what I kind of thought was the original argument. So I don't know how they just jumping over it because Wendy told a producer in confidence. So what? I told somebody in confidence. If I tell my husband in confidence that you a liar, that don't mean I told you. You know I'm going to tell my husband the truth.
Right. And that doesn't mean that she, like she said, that doesn't mean I don't think you were lying. I still thought you were lying. Like, right. I just got caught saying that I think you're lying.
Then when we get into them, you know, asking Mia how, girl, how you broke, how you got voted out your company, and you the CEO.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Mia and is just trying it.
Right. Tanaya, go ahead.
She's just stupid. I got 3 board members. No, I'm actually 1 of 3. No, I'm 8. No, we don't own a house. No, we're by coastal, but it's in North Carolina. What? Like, this is why she gets on my nerves, because she's not authentic. I think Mia wants to be what she thinks a housewife is. And the more she tries, the more it looks dumb. This is why, even though we do not like Giselle, period, her calling it embezzlement is like, Mia, what are you talking about?
Right.
What
are you embezzle? I saw somebody post a meme of when Black China's ex-best friend accused her of embezzling. And Black China was like, embezzle?
They was like, and my thing is with Mia, like, the fact that she was like, let's move on, because I don't want to talk about this with these people. It's like, it's giving you, you don't want to keep getting caught in your lie.
And it's that's not why about she wanted to cut the conversation. People. Weren't you the same one that got into a whole fight with Wendy because you wanted to interject yourself in a business deal that had nothing to do with you?
Exactly.
And give unwarranted advice on a business deal gone wrong with someone who has a reputation of failed businesses, Peter Thomas.
Exactly.
So now when we find out, girl, you got outvoted of your board of 3 to 8 members.
3 to 8.
3 to 8. Like, girl, no, we gonna call you out because you had the nerve to call out Wendy for having a business fallout with Peter Thomas. Really? The joke is on you, girl, all across the board. But, you know, I don't know. Tanaya, we were talking earlier. Tanaya was saying, no, not Tanaya. I'm so sorry. I'm mixing you up with Darnique. Darnique said she hopes it's Mia's last season.
I do, too.
I want Jacqueline to get a promotion, and right, I want Mia to be a friend
of. I still feel like, even though, okay, as long as Mia is willing to just be a hot mess train wreck, I don't want to see her gone. I really think that there's more that will come out about her that is just going to, like, eventually push her out the show. Like, okay, I got to leave because I just made a fool of myself.
I think she's hit it already.
True. I think they can't get rid of Mia and Robin. If I had to choose, I would keep Mia because she's just ditzy, and I would just let go of Robin. They need somebody who is going to be a ditz. So I would keep Mia and let go of Robin.
Right.
I would sadly rather see Mia go over Robin. I really want both of them to go, but if I had to choose, I would choose for Mia to go, because I think she just did so many awful things this season, personally.
I mean, I don't want to see any of them go. I think there's still space for all of the cast as it is. When it just comes to a demotion, though, I'm thinking Giselle should be demoted, because she has yet to ever have an authentic storyline. It's been like years, and she's not in a relationship. All she's doing is just, you know, being a pot stirrer, and she can serve that role as a friend without having to share her personal life, which she doesn't. So it can give more time and space for a full time that is in a situation in their life where they really can share, like they're in a relationship, they are sharing their kids, they might have health issues that they're sharing, things that Giselle just continues to drop the ball on. Yeah. I think that Giselle can get demoted to a friend. We have enough pot stirrers. So if she's going to just be there just for that, she can only appear as a friend. Just come during the group settings. We don't need your confessionals all the time. I mean, Sharice gets confessionals on Potomac, and she's a friend. So Giselle would still be able to get a confessional, but we don't need to see just little clips of you doing nothing. Because Giselle doesn't do nothing as a full-time housewife.
So no storyline.
One of them have to go. Robin and one of them have to go. I don't know. One of them has to get demoted. They both do not need to be full-time housewives, because Robin's lying. Giselle done helped Robin lie this whole season.
It's so one of them have to.
Yeah. One of them got to get demoted.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you. So now, speaking of Giselle, let's get into her versus Candace.
Gosh.
Candace went in. What were your thoughts on that? And all, just everything, as well as, you know, there's talk around Candace calling out Giselle's fibroids. I'm sorry, it's not funny, but she did call out her fibroids and said something about her having a dwindling uterus. And it got a lot of mixed responses from the fans. What are your thoughts?
I think that goes back to when Tanea was mentioning on previous episodes, like, that was Giselle's, like, storyline on a platter. Like, that would have been something that women were interested in hearing about. And I think Candace was just letting her know, like reading her, like, ma'am, you had so many other things to talk about. One of them being your dwindling uterus. And right. you chose to try and come for my husband. So I think that was her like letting her know, like, you chose wrong.
Right.
And I feel like, honestly, Candace has no remorse for Giselle. Like, on one hand, I do think it's wrong as someone who has had fibroids that didn't have a hysterectomy. But I don't think she means that for every woman who has a dwindling uterus. I think that was, she would only say that to Giselle because of the hurt and pain that she's taken her and Chris through. And I loved Wendy's point of, it's become a habit of you, Giselle, to continuously come for Monique and Chris, Wendy and Eddie, Candace and Chris, like, Karen and Ray. She always comes from
Ashley and Michael. Rightfully so, but
she literally doesn't have any other storyline. But so I feel like Candace is like, this is where I hit the wall, because now you're accusing my husband of something serious. And like they said, you could have called me, you could have emailed me, you could have, you had so many opportunities to talk, but you wait for the camera. There you go.
And it's not far off for Candace to have, we all know she has a vicious mouth. That's why we all, you know, it took a while for her to become a fan favorite, because I know when it was the whole Monique thing, I was team Monique off of the strength of just Candace's mouth. But what we do see when it comes to Candace's vicious tongue is it's only for those that really, really come for her. Like, you really have had to go there with her. And then it's like Tanea said, no remorse. Like, I'm telling you about your dwindling uterus. However, I could understand those that were bothered by it just off of the sensitivity of it. I just think that Candace is just so good with her vocabulary. And when she's in that zone, that fired up zone of reading somebody down, it's just, you know, hats off, and she gloves are off, and she's just going in.
I don't look at it as that's like to be that sensitive towards it for Giselle. I don't look at it that way because she has kids like already, like she's older, and it's just like, you're not going to have any more children or anything like that. So, you know, it is what it is. I feel worse for people that, you know, are affected when it comes to having kids or whatever, when it comes to fibroids. Like, I have fibroids too. I'm just now discovering this year. Well, last year. And it's just like me, I don't have that sensitive point for Giselle when it came to Candace, like, you know, kind of getting at her about that, because she has children in a sense. That's how I looked at it.
Ironically, I saw a lot of comments from women who have fibroids, a hysterectomy, and they were not offended. I get it. How, now going back to what I had mentioned of people saying Andy kind of throws Candace shade, I did peep how bothered he was when Candace told Giselle to shove her apology up her ass. He was like, not accepted. And it's just like, Andy, like, fall off Candace. You get more mad because she's just a good housewife. Like, she's,
I didn't take it like that. I thought he was just like, oh, like being shady to Giselle. Like,
yeah,
he's not accepting your apology, Giselle. Shove it up your ass.
That's how you guys took it.
I took it like he was shading Giselle. Like,
I thought he was meaning as if, like, not accepting.
No, his face was like, Giselle, bitch, she not. No, not accepted.
Yeah, because honestly, Giselle, get up out of here with this damn apology. I love how they really put the timeline in perspective. Like, girl, bye. Okay, you told Robin the day of the reunion that you felt uncomfortable with Chris, but again, waited months until the taping of the next season to now bring it up. And then, you know, was given different versions of the story behind Candace's back. So now when it's brought up to your face in front of everyone at the reunion, now, oh, you're sorry, girl. Right. Let's not.
And then I love that unaired clip of Chris apologizing. He said, if I made you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry. He didn't say, I made you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry.
Right.
He basically is taking accountability for making someone else feel a way. We're not responsible for how people feel, but we can apologize if unintentionally we make them feel that way. So
I've definitely felt like that was a reach.
He was admitting, and he was like, that does not mean he's admitting he made you feel uncomfortable,
right,
or that he did anything wrong.
I definitely felt like Giselle tried to go for a reach right there. Cut it out. But now, get from Giselle, let's go into her green-eyed bandit mate, Robin Boren Dixon. So if you could peep from the start of the reunion, Andy definitely shaded Robin in her dressing room. What were your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to fully remember that part. I know. Oh, I love that. How he was like, Oh, is Juan going to be here?
Yeah, oh, he's working. He was like, oh, figured as much.
He works every reunion.
Andy has been playing nice, but you can see now he is just over her, over Giselle, and he's just being real.
I don't think he appreciated them putting the tea on the podcast and getting paid for it.
And then remember, that didn't happen at that point when they recorded the reunion. Mm-hmm. So him saying that comment about Juan was really how he felt. Like, he really wanted to shade Robin. Like, once again, you're here for the reunion and your husband is not. It's a part of the show. Like, it's real.
He said, I didn't think so.
Right. Just shaded her down. Like, girl, once again, you're here by yourself. Oh, my God. I wish Juan Dixon was here right now.
Oh, my God. Was that last season?
No, that was like season five.
It was last season.
That was with the yellow dresses with Monique's last reunion. That was season five.
Because Chris was talking to her. Mm-hmm. Monique's husband was talking to her at that time.
Yes. That was season five, Monique's last year. So now, what do we think about Robin's comment about married men in hotel rooms?
First of all, I'm just upset that she even accepted this story from Juan. Like, ma'am, you really believe this? And I don't know if y'all watched, I believe y'all mentioned that y'all watched What Happens Live when she was on there with Ebony. Mm-hmm. And even Ebony, I kept looking at Ebony, looking at her like, girl.
She wanted to say so much more.
This is why I was really upset with Robin this season. Because remember, I had changed my mind about not liking her for like 2 weeks after we met her at BravoCon. So to see her now just revert back in the season to what I always called her. So now for me, from season two, I always said, Robin is so boring and she's dumb. I always saw that. Like, I literally would see that, okay, she's Giselle's sidekick. But even when it comes to the camera is on her and all the attention is on her and it's her chance to speak her piece about whatever the debate is, she never really had anything to say. So it's like, I always just felt like, okay, like she's just really not there, ditzy. Even when she started the hat business, granted, I did understand her opening up about the depression and saying like, oh, you know, 2020. But I also just, my overall feelings was like, Robin, you were just lazy. Like, you were, I felt that before even hearing Juan say it. I just genuinely felt that way. You know, like, girl, like, what are you talking about? Like, you're a reality star and you started a hat business and you have two kids. What the hell? Like, how are you not feeling motivated to get out of the bed? So
I think it was more to it at that point that they just were not putting out there.
And you didn't want to tell the truth. But, you know, we know. But now what we're seeing with Robin really sticking beside him, it's like, girl, you really are dumb. Like, it wasn't just like you didn't have nothing to contribute to the conversation. Like, no, you're dumb. You're real, real dumb. And now everybody can see it. And it's just like, it's such a turnoff.
I just want to real quickly shout out the producers for giving us the peak of the podcast and the Watch What Happens Live before they showed it. Because I just love how they're like, no, Robin, we're not here for you. Love it.
Yeah, that's Andy. He's not feeling none of that shit.
I can't believe she did that. 2 weeks after the reunion, you decided like, okay, I'm going to come forward with it only because the receipts came out. Remember, the receipts surfaced on social media. And the girl like gave it to some blogger. So then Robin was like, okay, I'm going to go on my podcast and talk about it. That means that if that didn't happen, they would have kept this under wraps. So Tanae, I agree with you when you're talking about like something needs to be done, because it's just like, girl, you're on a reality show, not being real.
And that's what we want. I don't care about somebody fake cheating. I want you to talk about your husband not being shit and you not trusting him and him trying to buy a hotel. Cause that would have had me love Team Rob. And then how you decided to forgive him. Because a lot of people forgive their cheating mates. And I just want these people to be real and they're not being real. So one of them, Giselle, they gotta go. Demote or just go.
So that's what I was going to ask. Like, so are y'all really sure? Because with this cliffhanger, you know, following Robin, do we really want her gone? Because I don't. As much as I don't like her, I don't. Like, she got to get dragged. She has to get dragged. There's no way she's going to return for season 8. And it's just nobody's going to talk about the fact, like, you married this man. We know he cheated on you. Cameron wasn't lying. Cameron got to get redeemed.
Yeah.
I just think that there's just too much with Robin that she can't go. But Giselle can get demoted. What is Giselle given? Why would you guys think that Giselle should come back full time season 8?
Wait, who were you saying needs to be redeemed?
Karen.
Karen. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Karen.
Right,
because
okay. Karen is the one, the first one that said he was walking around with a.
Yeah, she had been saying it. Yeah.
Right. So now, do you think Robin should come back for season 8 or Giselle?
Robin. If we have to pick one of them has to go. Right. Well, if we have to pick one, Robin has more of a storyline, but Juan is not an active participant. So it's not going to be as interesting to keep mm-hmm. having Robin just take his side no matter what. And Juan won't even come to a reunion because he's working. That's why I say if he's not going to come back, like if he's not going to be like, I apologize, I have my wife back, because I'm like, aren't you tired of like looking stupid? Then and I don't want her.
I could see him not even returning on the show, like the way Michael Darby didn't appear on the show. Because now it's like you got caught. And on top of the college scandal thing with the team or the coach, he got too much scandals around his name. And just from his attitude, like the way we saw him yell at Robin when Karen brought up the cheater rumors that ended up being true. I just can tell that he's an angry guy and he's not trying to be on reality television having everybody judge him. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's why he doesn't go to the reunions. So
it
exposes
him too much.
Right. I don't see him even appearing for any scenes with her next season. He's like, look, I married you. That's it. You shoot this show on your own. So yeah, and even though I want Robin back, I could kind of see it still just being an issue with her actually being back full time. Cause now it's like, girl, if your husband ain't going to participate, you're too boring to carry this on your own. Like, you really are. I don't know. I do want to see her get called out for her aggression. I'm hoping that gets brought up within these next two episodes, because that, like, we are not going to skate past the fact that Robin is the most aggressive on the cast. And she was very extremely aggressive this entire season towards Wendy. Mm. But now, which part of the teaser for what's to come are you looking forward to the most, Danielle?
Mm. Oh my God, so many parts.
Right.
I can't wait to see Chris and Giselle kind of have their conversation. I feel like she really just kind of like dragged his name this season, sadly. And a lot of people just kind of ran with the things she was saying too. And I definitely want to see more of the whole Robin and Juan situation play out. Well, we know he's not going to be on there. So that's one thing. And personally, I think Robin and Juan, I sadly see them getting divorced again.
I don't think they're really married either.
I think they just had a ceremony for the show. She needed another part to her storyline. And if they are married, I don't see them passing 2 more years together married.
Ooh, yeah. I'm here for everything. Well, I'm very excited to see Mia versus Jacqueline showdown.
Oh yes, that I forgot about that. Yes,
right. I'm very, very excited for that. Again, like I said, I want to see Robin get called out on her aggression towards Wendy, because I would love to see Wendy give Robin a very well-worded read. Like, we know
that's going to be the one to do it for sure. Wendy,
it has to get brought up. If it doesn't get brought up, I'll be extremely upset. But I think it is. I think they're just holding on to that.
I'm looking forward to Andy's part 3 with Robin that he didn't show on Watch What Happens Live, because I really think he's gonna tear her a new asshole when they showed the clip of
he's really
him.
Upset. You can
he's
tell
he's upset. Yes. And he don't believe Juan. He looking at her like she is dumb. Andy is like, girl, I done had a lot of housewives come on this show. And I know what I know. And it is not this.
Yes. I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. I'm happy they just put Giselle getting dragged in the first episode. So now we can move on to Robin. Let's just focus on what matters. Even though Giselle gonna get dragged again when Chris comes, but yes, like
you're for it.
All right, well, that's our deep dive, our first deep dive.
Thank you for joining us, Danielle. We appreciate
you for having me. I will
we definitely have to have you back.
Yes, please. I cannot wait to see how the rest of this reunion plays out.
All right, y'all.
All right, thank you, ladies.
All right, Bessie, it is time for some positivity.
And let me hit you with a good quote. You've done it before and you can do it now. See the positive possibilities. Redirect the substantial energy of your frustration and turn it into positive, effective, unstoppable determination.
Come on, Tanaya Angelou.
Boost the la rise.
Angelou. Okay. And for me, I have, it doesn't matter what's been written in your story so far. It's how you fill up the rest of the pages that counts. And on that note, we leave you with our slogan.
Love, abundance, and bundles. Because Angela Bassett did the thing.
The thing. Viola Davis, you're the woman king. All right, y'all. Bye.
You, that is, listen, that is it. That is it. That is it.
And we're out.